If you have the time, and if I may, I'd like to introduce you to Nicholas Van Wempel of Flatbush. Mr. Van Wempel is a rather rotund man who, as it happens, is also what we call henpecked, meaning that he's told by his wife, Vrouw Van Wempel, rather frequently in fact, exactly what to do, how to do it, and by when exactly it must be done. Now, I wouldn't fault Mrs. Wempel too much, for you see, Nicholas is much like, to reference a character not of real personage, Alfred P. Doolittle. That is to say that he's a somewhat lazy, responsibility-avoiding drunk. Of course, from another vantage point, it's always best to include more than one, it could be that he is the way he is because he is henpecked. Whichever the case, henpecked he is. Mrs. Wempel was the accountant of the family, which is a nice way of saying that she held the purse strings, which is a nice way of saying all the money was in her purse, which is a nice way of saying you couldn't trust Nicholas with a red cent or you'd need to recover those red cents from the local tavern owner, whom would be very unlikely to return them to you. I could go on, but I think you understand the sort of man Nicholas Van Wempel was by now. It was the early morning of New Year's Eve, 1739, when Mrs. Wempel handed Nicholas a handful of English shillings, 10 of them, to be exact, and requested, some might say demanded, that he head down to the market, specifically to Dr. Beck's, to pick up a goose for New Year's Day dinner, one that had already been set aside specifically for the Wempel family.
"And mind you, don't stop at the tavern!"
And that, all would agree, was not a request. And so out the door Nicholas waddled, crunching through the crusted snow as he made his way towards the market. As Mr. Van Wempel moved through town, taking a turn at McDurry Street and making his way towards Dr. Beck's, a sudden wind came up one of the alleys and blew his hat off and onto the ground. Nicholas grunted as he reached down to retrieve it, but just as he was about to snatch it up, a second gust of wind rolled the tricorn topper a little further down the street and up against the dark green door of one of the town's most notorious taverns, one Nicholas hadn't visited before. He mustered as much speed as he could, taking care not to slip on any ice, and half waddled, half slid over the snow-covered cobblestone street and right up to the tavern door. Bending down, he quickly grabbed his hat, and as the door was about to be swung open by a departing patron, he just as quickly stood up and out of the way. But as the tavern door opened, it wafted into his face the sweet smell of schnapps and beer, and any resolve which our poor Mr. Van Wempel might have had for carrying out his wife's request faithfully and without incident was gone, and Nicholas merrily stepped over the threshold of the tavern door and made his way to the barman to order a drink. Sitting at the bar, sober for the moment, Nicholas thought nervously of his wife and of the goose, and of the 10 English shillings in his pocket.
"Certainly a goose won't cost 10 whole shillings," he thought, "and my wife knows me well enough to know that I wouldn't have nothing to drink while in town. I bet she gave me a few extra shillings as a way of ensuring I could still afford the goose. What a shrewd woman. But she does know me, so perhaps I should be glad for it. And since that's the case, there's got to be enough in the budget for just one or two glasses of schnapps. In fact, I'm sure of it." And so Mr. Wempel ordered a schnapps, and when that one was done, he ordered another. And when he was finished with that one, to his credit, he had planned to get up and head to Dr. Beck's, but just as he prepared to do so, some friends of his entered the place and offered to buy him a round. Well, how could he say no to that? And, manners being so important to Nicholas, how could he not then return the favor and buy those friends around once they'd finished their first? And so on and on it went like this until all 10 of Mrs. Van Wempel's shillings were spent, and Nicholas was so drunk with schnapps that he collapsed at one of the barroom tables and drifted off to sleep. When Nicholas awoke, it was to the muffled sounds of voices coming from the next room.
He couldn't quite make out what they were saying, but as he turned his head drowsily and slowly in the direction of the sounds, he saw a few strangers collected in the doorway from which the voices were coming. They had black beards, leather clothing, and as sure as Nicholas could be in his current state, he was sure they were pirates. He made pretend not to be straining his ears to listen. What was that they said? Gold? Out in the marshes? At the old Flatlands tide mill? He was weary and still a little drunk, but he kept his head down until he was sure the owners of those voices had left, and then stood up, collected his hat and his thoughts, and rushed out the door as nonchalantly as possible, intending to head to the old mill, impelled and seemingly propelled by the power of the schnapps, surely, but also by a desperate fear of his wife, who would certainly be in a state if he were to return home, drunk, shillingless, and with no goose. Partway down the street from the tavern, Nicholas realized he'd probably need a shovel and a lantern, and so turned around and made his way back home, where he found not a sign of his wife, and so carefully crept into the outdoor shed, retrieved his shovel and lantern, and swiftly made off for the mill, still propelled by liquor and marital fear. When he reached the mill, and only once ensuring that no one was inside, Nicholas hastened to the cellar and, with his shovel, began prodding around in the soft and unfrozen earth until his shovel struck something that sent a fairly loud clang throughout the entire place. Nicholas froze. If anyone was inside that place, had they heard? He waited a few minutes, terrified that he'd be found out by pirates and then who knows what would happen. But when there was no sound of boots rushing across the floorboards above his head towards the cellar to investigate the origins of the sound, Nicholas, more carefully now, began to dig around the object he had struck. Once fully uncovered, Nicholas knew he had heard the pirates from the tavern correctly, for it was an old chest, and after using his spade to break the locks from its latches, which required him a second and a third time to freeze in fear of someone having heard him, and throwing back the lid, he knew the pirates from the tavern hadn't been lying, for right there in front of him were more gold pieces than he'd ever seen, more even perhaps than he could spend on schnapps and beer for the rest of his life. And he had to stifle a shriek of excitement, for now it would be he thought, and not his wife, who held the purse strings in the Van Wemple family. As quickly as he was able, Nicholas unbuttoned his trousers and began filling each leg with as many coins as could be fit, each leg being tucked into its boot, and soon was laden with so many gold pieces that when he tried to step towards the stairs to exit the cellar, he found he could only do so with great effort and strain. And, of course, it was at this moment that the sound of boots could be heard walking over the floorboards overhead, and down the cellar stairs came four men. Some of those pirates he'd seen at the tavern. And when they saw him, and the open chest, and the coins both gripped in his hands and pouring out over the top of his trousers, they looked at one another and burst into hearty laughing, as poor Mr. Wemple stood there, unable to move, if not for the coins, then for fear of his mortal life. When the laughing had subsided, these pirates pulled the legs of Mr. Wemple's trousers up and out from his boots and let all the coins fall onto the cellar floor. They then slapped the coins out of his clenched fists and carried him upstairs, where they made him drink many glasses of hot Hollands to the success of their flag, and then threw him out the second-story window of the mill and into the near-frozen creek below. Just before his unceremonious exit, however, as the pirates were rushing his drunk and heavy body to the window to eject him from it, he frantically grabbed out for anything that might save him from this high-flying exodus. But the only thing he managed to catch was the leg of a plucked goose, one the pirates had stolen from a neighboring farm and were planning on eating that night once they'd gathered their gold. And it was Nicholas and this would-be dinner goose, together, who now sat with wet bottoms on the side of that very, very cold creek. Nicholas stood up and ran as fast as his short and stumpy legs were willing to carry him. But as he ran out of breath and the Hollands began to rush to his head, he slowed, stumbled, and fell, dead drunk, into a snowbank and fell asleep. When Nicholas awoke, it was to the shrill screaming of his wife, who had discovered him drunk and unconscious in the snow just a few paces outside the fenced entrance of their home, looking quite disheveled and clutching a featherless goose tight to his chest. Mrs. Van Wempel cared less about the state of her husband when she saw that he had secured the evening's main course, and whenever he told his tale of the pirates and the gold, she would turn a deaf ear to him. For if he had found the gold, why did he not manage to bring home a few pieces of it? Nicholas, in answer, would ask how, as he had none of his own money, he could have come to have the goose, since lining the pockets of his trousers, which the pirates hadn't thought to check, were exactly 10 English shillings taken from the cellar chest and left intact as he flew from the second floor of the mill and into the creek. How could he have the goose and the money he left with? Mr. Nicholas Wempel would tell his tale to any sympathetic soul that was willing to listen, and he would often point in the direction of the old mill, raise his hand, and swear it was all true. Most only laughed, while a few believed. But whether they thought he was crazy, or lucky, or a liar, everyone was willing to buy Mr. Wempel a schnapps or two for the entertainment. And Mrs. Wempel was, of course, happy about the savings.